On, and we will in a moment read on in the story of Lazarus, Jesus makes a very profound statement. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. In John's Gospel, there are seven I am statements. And that is number five of the seven. The first one, I am the bread of life. Second, I am the light of the world. Third, I am the door or the gate of the sheep. And then, I am the good shepherd. Then, that one that we've just had, I am the resurrection and the life. Number six, I am the way, the truth and the life. And then of those in John's Gospel, the last one, I am the true vine. Now, the thing to note is that Jesus never said, I am like the bread of life, or I am like the light of the world. He makes it very clear and very straightforward for us. I am. There is no equivocation. There is no questioning. And he makes those statements for us. Not to build himself up or to show how wonderful he is, although we know that he is so wonderful, but to show what he brings to us. He is the source of spiritual nourishment. He brings the spiritual truth and divine guidance. He brings us safety and salvation. He demonstrates his care, his sacrifice, and his commitment to watching over us, his followers. And that one which is we shall look at, he affirms his authority over death, offering eternal life to all those who believe. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He, Jesus, is the only way, the only path to the Father, and the source of ultimate truth. Those people who will say to you, oh, it's all right. There are many ways to God. I'm just on a different path to you. You can tell them, well, I'm afraid your path leads off the edge of a cliff. It doesn't go anywhere else. Belief in Jesus is the way. And then, the last one, he says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the source of life, of growth. And it is only by staying connected to him that we are able to bear fruit. So I didn't get a chance. I will put those onto one of my posters, and I will put that up in the vestry, in the lounge, but I do believe it is important for us, especially as we are approaching Easter, that we get a true sense of Jesus, a true sense of all that he is, and for us, all that he can be to us. And so in the light of that, we're going to sing our next hymn together. They obviously want to see what he does. They want to hear what he has to say. But you will also have some there who are waiting to trip him up, are waiting to see when something doesn't quite work out. You know the sort of people, as I spoke about the other day, those who bring along with them a bucket of cold water so that when you're on fire and enthusiastic about it, the first thing they want to do is throw a cold bucket of water over you. So Jesus has this mixed group following him. And just prior to this, Jesus, as it says in that passage, the people had threatened, in Judea, had threatened to stone him and had chased him away. And so, for him now to have this call upon his heart, because of Lazarus, to go back to Bethany, i.e. go back into Judea, and you can see how his disciples react. "But Rabbi, last time you were there, they tried to kill you." "No, my friend Lazarus needs me, so I must go." And that reminds me so much of those people. I mean, just putting it into human context, when a building is on fire, everybody runs away from it, except for the firemen who run towards it. Yeah? And that's a sort of like a similar situation here. Jesus is putting himself in peril. But why is he putting himself in peril? He is putting himself in peril for his friend, Lazarus. But he does it in a very special way. Now, first of all, we're told Lazarus is ill. Okay? And then we hear later on, Lazarus has died. And Jesus hesitates. Now, that's not a hesitation brought about by fear or nervousness. It's a hesitation because he knows that what will happen later will all the more confirm that he is the Lord. Yeah? And so, after 2 days by Jordan, they then start to move towards Bethany. So by the time they get to Bethany, we're talking about possibly 4 days that Lazarus has been in the tomb. And it's very important that we take note of that four-day period. Because in Jewish customs, it was thought that for the first 3 days of someone's death, their spirit hovered around them. And it was only on the fourth day, once, to put it in crudely, decomposition had actually started, that the spirit would then leave them. So that was very important. Jesus wanted it to be made absolutely clear that Lazarus hadn't just fallen asleep, he wasn't in a catatonic trance, he had died. So that part of it is very important. So he comes to the edge of the village. And then it says, Martha went out to meet him. Now, why does it say that? Well, because, again, in Jewish tradition, for the first week, the women of the house would sit on the floor of the house and others would come and minister to them. So for Martha to leave the house at that point meant that she must have been going to meet someone very special. And she is going to see Jesus. So that in itself is out of tradition, shall we say. That in itself is out of the true context of the Jewish way of doing things. So here we see, and we have this picture of Martha speaking with Jesus. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, whatever illness he had, whatever complaints he had, I know that you would have been able to cure him because I've seen you cure other people. But I know, and this is again a wonderful statement, but I know that even now God will give you what you ask. So here is great faith. Here is great certainty that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the one who can heal, the one who can save. Yes, she will know the scriptures which speak about the last days. She will know that. So when he starts speaking about him, about Lazarus rising again, she says, yes, I know he'll rise again. He'll rise again on the last day when everything is put right. I know that. But Jesus takes it that stage further. And that is when that great passage, that great verse is spoken. I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. All of the questions that Martha has in her mind, that Mary has in her mind, are answered in that one statement. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me shall live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he puts that four words at the end. Do you believe this? Here, Martha's statement. In other words, does Martha first of all believe in the resurrection? Does Martha believe that Jesus can restore life? And more than that, that life is eternal life. Yes, Lord, she says. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. That's the old Isaiah statements of Jesus. He didn't ask her that. He asked, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? She can't answer that bit. And how often do we deflect away from those searching questions? As a person who used to interview quite a lot of people for various jobs, as a chair of this, that, and the other, I was always aware of when you asked an applicant a question and they answered a question that they'd actually got them for themselves rather than that you would ask them. And they would very quickly get a little X against their name for that. Didn't matter how good their statements were, but if they didn't answer the question, then you didn't want to know. But here, she doesn't understand. Perhaps she understands some of it, but she doesn't understand the full impact of what she has. Her faith is strong. Please don't get me wrong. Her faith is genuine. And I do believe that is an encouragement to us. And that's why I love that chapter from 1 Corinthians. though I have the faith to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Do we have the faith that move mountains? Anyway, let's move on. Jesus then comes to the tomb itself. Now, the tomb has been sealed, as was the way. It would have been a cave with a large stone rolled across the face of it, and then it would have been cemented in. And the Romans were very good at making cement. If you want to have a scientific discussion, have a look on the interweb about the making of cement by the Romans. And they were brilliant at it, absolutely brilliant. They even made cement that would dry underwater. You know, that's quite incredible. Anyway, he was well sealed in. So when Jesus says to them, roll away the stone, they're immediately shocked. Lazarus has been in there 4 days. His body will have started to decompose. And I love the way that the Bible puts it in very genteel terms. There will be an odour about him. No, he will stink because he is starting to rot. Let us be honest. But here Jesus is saying, if anyone, I can raise him from the dead. And all he does is call out, Lazarus, come forth. And what happens? He comes out. There's no odour. There's no smell. Here he is, raised to life again. And that for me is so wonderful. By believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he is the only one who can save us, by believing that he is the only one who is the way, the truth, and the life, we are able to have that resurrected life. We are able to be the ones who have eternal life. God is the only one who can do that. There is no other. God, our God, God Almighty, is able to do that for us. Jesus didn't merely come to say wonderful words. Jesus didn't merely come to spread an ethos of love and happiness. Everything Jesus says, he backs up with action. Everything that he does has an impact for us today, as it did for those there. We must increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree to be uprooted, mustard seed. Do we have that faith? We need to develop that faith. So then we can truly be his followers, his disciples. And we can truly make a difference in this world of ours. Amen.